Good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of you here today. So all of the old pastors are out of the country today, so you get the youth pastor today. All three of the other pastors are on holiday right now and having a good time from the reports I have received. My name is Ryan. I'm the youth pastor here, and my wife Marie and I moved here about 1 year ago. Actually, last week, Pastor Jakob and I are officially 1 year Facebook friends. So it's official. And so we've had a blessed year beyond our wildest imagination, and I just want to thank all of you for being a part of HIF and that community that has brought us in. So my beautiful wife is already in America. She left last Wednesday early, and I leave this Wednesday, and we'll go back to refresh, visit family and friends. So I am looking forward to that, and I will miss all of you guys. And so I'm doing the last sermon on our Chosen series from 1 Peter, and next week and throughout the summer, we're going to launch our summer series on the book of Jonah. So Pastor Charlie will be back next week. So I have a question for you guys this morning. Have you ever felt small? Have you ever felt tiny and small? Think of a time when you've felt that way. For me, I often feel small when I am in nature. I love hiking, I love rafting, I love being outdoors, and I often feel small by the creation around me. So last summer, Marie and I went to Michigan for a wedding, and we just kept driving straight through Canada and went to Niagara Falls to visit, and it is amazing. And so we went there. And one of the things I like doing with amazing things of nature is pretending I was the first person to discover it, the first person to see it. And so, so we get out of the car, and there's cars everywhere. But then I'm like, what would it be like to come across this for the first time? And so we're walking up on the sidewalk with rails and everything else, but I'm pretending, what would it be like to see this for the first time? And the first thing you would notice is the noise, the sound, the of the waterfall falling, and then you see this mist just rising up out of the falls that you can see from far away. And as we got closer and closer, it got louder and louder. And then we got there and looked at it and saw the majestic beauty of it, and it was huge. And so Marie and I went and did the tourist thing, right? So we got the ponchos on, we got on the boat, and then we drive into the center of Niagara Falls. And so the first thing we do when we get on the boat is we get on, get the life vests on, and then walk straight to the front. I book it for the front of the boat because I want the front seat, bottom row. And so we go out, and this boat goes into the center of the falls, and there's mist everywhere. They say it's like a tropical storm in there, but it's not, because I've been in a tropical storm here, and it's not quite as amazing as a tropical storm. So we go in, and I'm at the front, and then people start like going back inside to stay dry, and we're just getting drenched and wet, and I am loving it. And then I stand there, and I look around. There's sheer cliffs of water just falling all around. It's all you can see. You can barely even see the sky or anything above. And they're huge. And I'm just amazed and thinking, I am small. And then I just stand there, raise my hands, and worship God. Wow, you are amazing. So have we ever felt small? Do we take time to stop, to think of how short life is, how long eternity is, what we are doing, is our life worth living? What are we doing with the time we've been given? And so my prayer this morning is that we will take a look at God, see how big He is, how small we are, and that we would humbly fall under Him and understand His love for us. And so The theme of this sermon is, before we can stand firm against Satan, we must bow before God. Before we can stand firm against Satan, we must bow before God. So let's read our passage today, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like the roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray before we go any further. Father, I pray that you will speak to us this morning, that you will speak through me, that you can humble me here on this stage this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill this room with your presence and that you will penetrate your truths into our minds, into our hearts, and that it would transform the way we live, that it would translate to our hands, the way we serve and love other people, that your truth would translate to our feet, that we would go and be where you want us to go, that your truth would translate to our lips, that we would speak with encouragement and uplift others. Lord, I pray this morning that you will just show up and make yourself known even more. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are three key commandments in this section. To be humble, humble yourself under the hand of God. Be heedful, be watchful, be sober-minded. So be humble, be heedful, and be hopeful, looking forward to eternity, to heaven, that death is not the end of life. There is more, and we need to live in light of that. So be humble. And it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time you may exalt, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Now, one verse in front of this, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God opposes the proud. Now, I cannot think of a more terrifying thought than having an all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign God opposing you. And this is what Peter is writing to the scattered Christians in the area. Humble yourself under God's hand. And now we ask the question, why does God oppose and despise and hate the proud and pride? And the reason why is because it is a huge issue about God. It is a huge issue about who God is. So let's take a look at how big God is. Let's grow our understanding, our theology of God, the study of God, who he is, and that will shape the way we view him and view ourselves. So God is the creator, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he never had a beginning or an end, he's the Alpha, the Omega, he burns with passion for justice, he cares for you, watches over you, he is in control of all things, he is huge. Let's pause right there. He is huge. When was the last time we thought about how big and vast God is? I know sometimes it's hard here in Hanoi, but when was the last time you looked up into the sky and saw stars? Maybe years you haven't seen stars here. That's actually one of the things I'm excited to go back home for, so I can see the stars. And God spoke words into creation and created all those stars and the galaxies. So here's a picture of the Milky Way where we reside, where our solar system, our one star of many, the sun, where we orbit around. So this is a picture of the Milky Way. And the way scientists measure the galaxies and universe, the seen known universe, is by light years. And so, like, a centimeter, an inch, a foot, a meter, a yardstick will not be sufficient in measuring how big the universe is. So they measure in light years. So a light year is how fast light travels in 1 year, a light year. And so light travels in 1 second, 300,000 kilometers in 1 second. And then in miles for 1 year, 5.88 trillion miles light travels in 1 year. So 5.88 trillion miles light travels in 1 year. So that's how we measure this universe. And so the Milky Way is so big, and our star, the sun, is in there somewhere. We can't even see it from this picture. And so if we zoomed into this picture, we zoomed all the way in and started counting the stars. Okay, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Counted all of them. One star per 1 second, it would take 2,500 years to count all the stars in the Milky Way. So this Milky Way is only our galaxy, and scientists say there are billions of galaxies out there, and the Milky Way is just ours that we live in. So let's take a look at Isaiah 40, what God says about himself with creation. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all things. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. So God created all of these stars, the galaxies, and he knows every single star. He has named every single star, and he has memorized the names of all of these stars. And so we start realizing that we are pretty small, and God is pretty big. So here's another picture. This is the Milky Way. And this is what scientists think the whole Milky Way looks like. It's a compilation of thousands of pictures that they have taken. And right below the nucleus down, there's this little arrow that says the sun. And so we live about the second or third spiral out from the nucleus. And so they think it's a barred nucleus with arm spirals going around. So this is the whole Milky Way. And the thing is, we don't even live in the center of our own galaxy. So one, we shouldn't think we're amazing or anything. So God is huge, and he created this. And so if you wanted to get from one side of the Milky Way all the way to the other side, you would have to travel for 100,000 light years. So if you traveled at 5.88 trillion miles per year for 100,000 years, boom, you'd get from one side to the other of just one galaxy in the universe, the Milky Way. And in comparison, so our solar system, so our star, the sun, and all of our planets orbiting around our solar system, they say in comparison to this whole Milky Way is the size of a quarter compared to the whole size of America. So we are pretty small. So if the Milky Way was the size of America, in comparison, our solar system would be the size of a quarter, about this big. So indeed, we are small. And then here we are on our little planet, orbiting around our little star, living our lives. Indeed, we are small. And I'm not trying to make us feel small. I'm trying to explain to all of us, we are small. We are small, but we are not insignificant. Because God is so big and so vast, but he cares about us and watches over us. So why does God hate and despise pride? Because pride in its root is saying that we know better than God. We can do better than God. Our accomplishments compared to God's accomplishments or are even better. So of course that is ridiculous when we take a big picture of how small we are and how big God is. So he despises pride. And so he commands, humble yourselves. And he is saying, get over yourselves and get under me. Humble yourselves under my mighty hand. I am the God who created everything. Come under me because I deserve it. And so if you struggle with pride, like I do, I think most of us do, what is the antidote? What is the medicine? What is the answer to getting rid of pride? And the answer is God. The answer to getting rid of pride is God. To get rid of pride, we need to know, understand God more, have a relationship with him, know how big he is, and naturally know what our response will be. Like in Niagara Falls, just lifting your hands and praising him when we realize how tiny we are. So humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And then he also says, cast your anxiety on me. Throw your anxiety on me. So we need to stop, take a deep breath, and understand that God knows who we are. And if we really trust him, if we really know how big he is, we will give everything to him, our anxiety to him. And he knows us by name. He says, I care for you. And so we say, but God, I'm anxious about passing this class. I might not graduate. God, I'm anxious because my parents just left and I don't know what to do. I'm anxious because this cancer is ripping me apart, ripping my family apart, and I can't do it. I'm anxious because my dad is dying. My mom has already died and I don't know what to do. And God is saying, I know, I understand. Tell me how you feel, how it hurts. Throw it all on me. I am big enough to carry your burning anxiety. I'm strong enough to take on the pain. And I am mighty enough to lift you up. And I care about you so much, I want to carry your burden so you don't have to. God is saying, I don't want anxiety to control your life. I want to control your life because I care for you. And now, there's not a better thing that could happen to us than having an all-powerful, all-sufficient, amazing God, a loving God, a caring God in control and watching over us and having his hand of blessing over us and protection. So we need to humble ourselves, cast our anxiety on him, and know he cares. So we need to be humble under God. We also need to be heedful. We need to be watchful. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. So Peter is writing to Christians who are being persecuted, who are being killed, who are being scattered in the area, who are facing trials, tribulation, and he is saying, you are chosen, but life is going to be hard. There's an enemy. There will be suffering. We have to know that there's a roaring lion out wanting to kill, destroy, murder, devour us. And so, when you think of Satan, what is the animal you usually think of? It's usually not a lion. A snake, right? A serpent. Sneaky, sly, coming to bite you in the heel. But there's another side of Satan that Peter is drawing out, and he's saying he is a roaring lion that wants to kill you. He wants to go straight for your throat, chomp down, get your jugular vein, and end you. So what do we do with this? And the command is to be heedful. So we have to be humble. And if we're humble and bowing under God's mighty hand, his hand will be over us and protecting us. Doesn't mean hard things won't happen. We also have to be heedful. We have to be sober-minded. We have to be alert. And so it says, be sober-minded. So what is the opposite of being sober? Being drunk, right? And when you're drunk all the way, you're passed out. You're unconscious. You're unaware. So he's saying, don't be unconscious. And being watchful, I think of a guard on duty, guarding something, a building, a place. And what's the worst thing you could do as a guard? Fall asleep, right? So God is saying, don't fall asleep. Keep your eyes open. There is a roaring lion out there coming to attack you. And understand, this is a matter of life and death, that this lion is going for the kill. And so this is where we have to understand God is big. And if we go under him, he is capable of protecting us. And realizing we are small and we are nothing compared to the power of this roaring lion. So we have to be humble. We have to be heedful. So it commands us to be watchful. But what does being watchful look like? How do we become watchful? One, we have to realize there's a roaring lion out to get us. This doesn't mean that Satan is under every chair, behind every door, and after you, every step you take, that everything bad happens is Satan. This isn't what the roaring lion means. We have a God who is a God of common sense, who has made us with common sense, and we have a natural world, we have physical bodies, that when we do things, we have natural consequences, good and bad, and we cannot pin every negative thing that happens to us on this roaring lion, on Satan. But we have to be aware that he is out there seeking to devour us. We have to bow under God's hand and give him our anxiety. Two things that Satan loves to attack is our pride, making us think about ourselves more and more, and then to make us worry about mostly ourselves more and more. It's all me focused. So we have to humble ourselves and bow under God. And we have to fight. Kill or be killed. This is a matter of life and death. We have to stomp out the enemy. And we have to take action. This calls for action. Being watchful is not a stagnant sitting there looking around. This is action in looking and being aware. And we have to know that we have a part to play, that we can't just say, okay, God, you take care of it. No, we have to take action now. And what are some ways we can do that? How can we be watchful? So if we struggle with different things, get accountability. Get friends who can swarm around you and encourage you. Put up things that will help you be watchful, that will help you be conscious of decisions you are making. If you struggle with a specific sin, if you struggle with keeping your eyes pure, with lust, lustful images. Do you guys know Ravi Zacharias? He is an apologist from India. He lives in Atlanta, and he's a world traveler. Goes to university, talks to a lot of students. And he said, you would be surprised of the two things college students come up to me after confessing and wanting help with. One is with lust. Two is with suicidal thoughts. And so this roaring lion is attacking self-image. He is attacking the value of who we are, that we are adopted into God's family, that we're created in God's image. That is one of the areas that Satan tries to attack us in. And so what are ways that we can put parameters and be watchful over lust? How about putting software on your computer to filter it, or have accountability partners to be around you, to connect with you, turning your computer off, not having your computer in a room with you alone. I had a college friend that would have his roommate literally tie his hands behind his back every night so he would fall asleep and wouldn't struggle with lust. Do whatever it takes to fight and kill out the enemy. Or if you struggle with alcohol, with drinking, use common sense. Don't have alcohol in your house. Get rid of it. Pour it down the drains. Don't go around near bars. Get people around you who are encouraging and uplifting. Get accountability. Be watchful over that area of your life. Or gossip. If you have to, tape your mouth shut for one full day. Tell your teacher, I can't answer any questions today in class because I'm not talking. Or, you know, go to any extremes. Bring a recorder with you and then start recording every conversation you have with other people. I bet you will be a lot more careful of what you say. So we got to take action. We got to fight. And we have to do all of this under the hand of God in humility. Because if we try on our own, we will fail 100% of the time. We can only do this with God's power, with His strength, because we are small. And then it goes on, we have to be hopeful of the future. And it says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So suffered for a little while. Do you know that this little while could actually be your whole lifetime? Kind of discouraging. But if we take the big picture, we have eternity to look forward to. And even though we suffer, maybe it might be one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, our whole life, it is only a little while compared to the glory and the riches of heaven that we have to look forward to. And did you know that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have heaven to look forward to, and God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. So every single one of us can be in heaven, sitting in His lap, reclining with Him, and just soaking in His love for us. That's what we have to look forward to. But do we live that way? We have eternal glory to look forward to. And at that time, He will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Do you ever feel like, okay, God, just get this done with, hurry it up, restore me now, I'm ready. But God, in His timing, will restore you. We have eternity to look forward to. And the amazing thing is that He already has dominion over everything. Jesus has already won at the cross. We are already winners, so we can overcome darkness with God. So this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. So what do you need to work on? Do you need to hone in on so you bring more and more life in your own life and stomp out more and more death in your own life? Do you need to know God more? Know how big He is? Do you need to know how small you are? Do you need to wake up and be watchful over a specific area of sin that you're struggling with? Do you have to have a bigger perspective that life is short, that you have something beyond this life, this work week, this work project? You have something greater to live for, even after death. What is it that you need to work on? Now, maybe you do not even know God personally, that you don't know this big, huge God. And it says that He calls you. He is calling you. And if you have a tug on your heart this morning, a tug on your mind, that God is saying, I want you. I want you. I want to know you. I want you to bow down before me, and I will put my hand over you. If you have burdens and anxiety, throw them on me because I am big enough to carry them. I want you, and I care for you. It's simple. You just have to say, God, take my life. I seek you. And you have to actively seek God from that point on. So how about us? How about us as Christians in Hanoi? How about HIF? How about all of us sitting here in this room, everyone else who was at the service before, and the service at 2 o'clock, how are we as a community growing and knowing how big God is, humbling ourselves under Him? What if all of us were more humble under God and had His hand over us? How would that affect the way we live? What if all of us were pure, that we were fighting this fight for life? There will be times we mess up. Every day we will mess up. But as we trudge forward, that we can become more and more pure. What if all of us were more pure and living in purity? What influence would we have in our families, with your mom and your dad, with your children, with your brothers, with your sister? What influence would that be if we are all humble, if we are all heeding and watching out sin, and we are living for a life that is beyond death? What impact would that have on your job, your work, your relationships, this city, Hanoi? How would that become different? And I believe that as we grow as God's community and understanding God more and more, He will transform this place, this city, this nation, and the world. This is a huge picture of what God can do. And we are called to humbly go bow down before Him, stand firm against Satan, and look forward to eternity. So, let's take action today. Let's move in this direction and get to know God more and more. It really is a matter of life and death. What if we can create more and more life in ourselves by all of these things? What if, you know, God uses the humble? What if God brings people into His kingdom because you are humble and He chooses to use you? We can bring life to other people through the power of God working in our lives, through the lips and the words we say, through the actions we do. What if God brings other people into His kingdom, other people life because of the way we live? And to do that, we have to be humble under Him. We have to be watchful over sin. We have to look forward and look at the big picture of life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Lord, You are so big and so good. Thank You that You choose us. You choose to love us. You choose to walk with us. You choose to never leave us. Lord, our only reaction when we get to know You for who You are is to raise our hands and praise You. Lord, may we praise You every day of our lives. Lord, I pray for anyone here that is having a tug on their heart that You are speaking to directly right now, that they would come up after service and pray with someone. Lord, that they would take action here today. Lord, thank You that You are the life giver, that You are the protector over the one that wants to devour us. Let us grow as a community in times that are good, in times that are suffering, in times that are in between, that we would grow as a community to shine bright for You so You can change lives. Lord, this is our prayer and our request. We love You, Lord. Thank You for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen.